This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Was there anything in the initial revelations of God that improved the status or role of the woman in Arabia?
What we have to understand is that the first thing that improved the status of women was simply a redefinition of the value of human beings. I mean, women as human beings were reassessed according to their value. Now their value was not primarily as chattel or as property of men, but as individual human beings who had their own spiritual relationship with God. That's vitally important. It means that if a woman is married or if she's not married, whether she's a mother or she cannot have children, whether she lives a life that is in the public eye and is famous, or is someone who is who gets great acclaim because of her career or her accomplishments, that all of these things in the end are irrelevant, because her primary value in relationship is the dignity that she can attain through her relationship with God. It's very important to understand that. Of course, there were specific rulings about females in that society that did help their situation within the limits of what was possible within 7th century Arabia. One of the first things that was done, of course, in the early revelations was to link the mistreatment of women with morality, so that the burial of female children, female infanticide, that was practiced among the pre-Islamic Arabs was condemned. And not only was it condemned as something that was wrong, but it was linked to a ultimate value, which was that God would judge this action. It's very important to understand that the pre-Islamic Arabians did not believe in an afterlife. So they did not believe that their actions would have any ultimate consequences other than whether other human beings would assess them as good or bad. That's what's really important about this message, is that whether other human beings think that your actions are good or bad, ultimately it is God who is the judge. And the fact that female infanticide is immoral, is sinful, is unlawful in the sight of God, means that whether any person knows about your action or not, it is wrong. God will know, and you will be judged for that. Because so many crimes that occur against women occur in private. So often women are hurt and abused within the private sphere, within the domestic sphere. No one ever finds out about that abuse. And that's why the awareness that it is God who sees all things, God sees these actions, is the most important aspect of this message, because you cannot get away with abusing girls, with abusing women, when God sees and knows all things.
This is taking you back again to the statement where they practice infanticide, female infanticide. Why did they practice that?
There are two different reasons why the pre-Islamic Arabs, some of them, not all of them, practiced female infanticide. The first was out of simple inability to take care of all of their children. Among the poorest tribes, those who were living on the margins of life, those who had the poorest grazing grounds, they would kill some of their children because they were afraid they wouldn't be able to take care of them. And they would rather kill their girl than the possibility, not just of her dying, but of having to sell her or give her away where she would be abused. So for many of them, it wasn't something that they loved doing. It's not because they hated girls, but because they did not have any hope that they would have a way to take care of their children. This is why we have to look at the Islamic message holistically. because Islam not only said that it's wrong to bury the child, but that you also have to believe that God will provide for you and for your children. So it's that linking to faith, realizing that it is God who gives rizq, that is important. But it doesn't stop at that, because we know that there are people who are poor. We know that there are people who can't feed their children. And that is why this issue then has to be understood within the context of the Islamic economic social order, which is that it is the responsibility of the rest of the community to help you if you can't take care of your children, that not only through zakat, but also through sharing and through a different social economic order, you have to be assured that this community will take care of your children.
How did the early Muslim women contribute to the understanding and preservation of Islam?
What's important to understand is that the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years. And very often verses of the Quran were revealed in connection with issues that arose in the community or questions that were asked. So from an Islamic perspective, we understand that God put in place a certain community around the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that asked questions, that was vocal, that wanted, had a certain sense of curiosity and wanted to understand what this revelation meant for them. What that means is that the questions that were raised were important, and women were among, were equal to men in asking questions. What does God have to say about my situation? If we think about Khawla, for example, who came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, complaining that her husband had uttered the words of dhihar against her, saying to her, "You are to me as my mother's backside," very vulgar expression by which a man would separate himself from his wife but not divorce her, a completely unjust practice in pre-Islamic Arabia. She came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and said, "You know, he's done that. Now I'm in this situation where I'm hanging between marriage and divorce. I'm in kind of no man's land. What does God have to say to that?" And soon God does reveal a judgment about this practice, outlawing it, saying that it is shameful, and that that a man who utters this pronouncement has to make compensation, kafara, and repent. That's just one example. We know of many other examples where women asked questions about their own situation, about their status. Salama, who asked about the revelation, why was the revelation being addressed to men? In Arabic, the masculine form of a noun encompasses both male and female. Now, of course, the Arab women knew that. They knew their language. But they wanted to clarify and make sure that the men in their community understood this. And it's in response to that question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse that says, "Verily, the Muslim men and the Muslim women and the believing men and the believing women," to the end of the verse, saying that each of them will have their reward from God. So that's an affirmation from God that women are equal to men. And it's in response to that question that arises from a woman who knows the men of her time, who knows that the men of her time do not think much of women, and that they might use the Quran and use the way that the Arabic language is structured to exclude women from the life of the community.